You're listening to Jailbreak on 2SER 107.3, Sundays, 9:30 p.m. Thanks for tuning in. I'm your host, Jacob Little, D44108. I'll never forget them numbers. How's your time going? Across the country, Jailbreak's coming right to your cell. Coming up, some of my story, Tupac, G-Unit, The Game. It's great to have your company. Have a good chew and enjoy the show.
Hey, Suge, what I tell you, nigga, when I come out of jail, what I was going to do?
I've been out of custody for 7 years. The reason for me sharing my story today is, and know what it feels like to go through the system. You know, some people think there's not a way out and you can't stop doing what you're doing. You can stop doing what you're doing. If you think that you can't do it, or it's just for people who have rich families, not, you know, people like us who come from nothing, the gutter, housing commission, you can get out and have a crack. It's not the end. Never give up. It's great to have your company wherever you are in the system. Jailbreak is a Australian community radio program for people in prison and their families, and is one of many great projects of Sydney's community restorative centres providing post-release support in New South Wales. Coming up for the next half hour, my story and some of my music. Sit back, relax, have a good chew and enjoy the show. Some of the stories and lyrics coming up on Jailbreak may offend sensitive listeners and are unsuitable for a young audience.
If something upsets you,
call the Prison's Mental Health Hotline. If you are in New South Wales Prison Systems or Lifeline Australia, 11 13 14. I'm coming to you from Tweed Heads, my place. It's got a little setup in my room. We work from home. Just got a little laptop set up, got me headphones on, kicking back. It's a warm day here, sun's out, loving it. Looking out my window, I can see the blue sky, some clouds and my neighbour's house, so it's a bit better than looking out of a prison cell window. Today, my life is very different. My network used to be like criminals, drug dealers. As much fun as I used to have in my old lifestyle, I used to feel like shit after having big 3-4 day benders, feeling like crap. Now, a good time for me is like have a good meal with my family, friends, have a good training session.
With the beat it?
I'm 30 years old. The reason I went to prison was assault, robbery of violence, gang charges, and I'd done 1 year in prison in the Queensland Correctional System, in Woodford Correctional, Brisbane Correctional, and Arthur Gorry Correctional Centre. I was born in Coffs Harbour in New South Wales, the Big Banana. I grew up all over New South Wales. My mum and dad split up when I was quite young, so we bounced around a lot. A lot of housing commission, Sydney, Central Coast, Newcastle, Tweed Heads, and then the Gold Coast. Life for me as a child was probably a bit different to others now that I look back at it. Growing up in housing commission, and you know, everyone in that street either was, you know, involved in crime, families, mums, dads were in prison, drug dealers all through the street. Even when I was at a young age, you know, just grew up in a different lifestyle to other people. But what I thought was normal, you know, I had a disagreement with the kid in the street and he was just always bullying me, and mum made us go out the front and have a one-on-one crack on the grass. I don't know, that was just normal for me back then, I suppose. You know, my mum wasn't working at that time, but there was money in the bank. Yeah, so I suppose after dad left and I was so young, you know, I only just see him on school holidays. So it was a lot of fun, you know, it was cashed. was drug dealing, killing it really. So every time I hung out with him, it was lots of good times, buying me motorbikes, going on holidays, going to SeaWorld, Movie World. He was living on the Gold Coast. I didn't know what my dad was doing. I had no idea. I mean, there was a couple of little things that are like, now I look back on it and I'm like, that was suspicious. But at the time I was a kid, I grew up in that lifestyle. And if you got to eat, you got to eat. I know it's not the right thing to do, but now, yeah, back then I was in that lifestyle. So I understand. Yeah, I get it. You're with Jacob Little, Jailbreak, 2SER, 107.3, Sundays, 9:30 PM. Coming up for the next half hour, my story and some of my music. How's your time going? Thanks for tuning in. It's great to have your company wherever you are in the system. Sit back, relax, have a good chew, and enjoy the show. Bang on the walls and tell the brothers and sisters to tune in. Coming up after these messages, don't go away.
Hep C's in the house, better watch your back. Hep C's in the house, better watch your back. Use a dirty needle when you're on the wrong track. Use a dirty needle when you're on the wrong track. Hear the siren and the cops break down the door. Next thing you know, I'm face down on the floor.
The shackles and chain, heading for the revolving door again. Going through the courtroom, I'm feeling the pain, feeling the shame. Looking for someone else to blame. Here I'm back, up on the rack, back in the yard doing a lap. Looking for the foil for the dragon to chase.
Looking for the foil for the dragon to chase. Not enough to go around, gotta get the brace. I wish I could get this out of my face. 9 other people already had a taste.
Using a dirty, rotten brace. It's a disgrace to be back in my place. It's a disgrace to be back in my place. It's a disgrace.
Your back. FC's in the house, better watch your back. Use a dirty needle when you're on the wrong track. Use a dirty needle when you're on the wrong track.
Hear the siren and the cops breaking down the door. Next thing you know, face down on the floor. Sackle and chains, heading through the revolving door again. Going through the courtroom, feeling the pain, feeling the shame. Looking for someone else to blame. Here I'm back, copping a whack, back in the yard, doing the lap. Looking for the foil for the dragon to chase. No enough to go around, gotta get the brace. Wish I could get this out of my face. None of the people already had a taste. Use a dirt and rotten brace. It's a disgrace to be back in this place.
FC's in the house, better watch your back. FC's in the house, better watch your back. Use a dirty needle when you're on the wrong track. Use a dirty needle when you're on the wrong track. FC's in the house, better watch your back. FC's in the house, better watch your back. Use a dirty needle when you're on the wrong track. Use a dirty needle when you're on the wrong track. FC's in the house.
Ever think you got Hep C?
Nah, not that yellow, am I? Don't need to.
You don't have to look yellow to have Hep C, mate. Just get yourself tested. Did you know that with treatment, there's a good chance you'll clear up your Hep C? Hep C's a virus like the flu, except the flu goes away. You got to treat Hep C and you get treatment at the clinic inside. Get your form into the nurse today.
My name's Sarah. I'm the health worker here at the jail. I understand you've come here today to talk to me about continuing your Hep C treatment when you're outside.
Ella says she'll be released from jail very soon. She would like to know if there's treatment or where she could get treatment outside of prison. So, Ella, this one is the health worker here. I'm come to talk for you about treatment outside of jail when you go come out and go treat you. This can you get a treatment outside?
All right, we guess so. Ask him where I go, because I'll go let him go next week. Sometimes I don't know, but ask him to get any help there outside for me for girls.
There is treatment available outside prison, Ella. The best place to contact to get further information is the Hep C helpline.
Call the Hep C helpline in your centre.
Yo, what's up, everybody? This is Jay Pleasure, and you are on Jail Rage.
Yeah, I hope you guys stay with us. Stay with us. Don't leave the chair. Stay where you are right now.
If you're not sure how to clean a fit, check out the picture posters in your jail or the reception diary. It shows you what to do, or ask a nurse at the clinic. It's a confidential service. In New South Wales jails, The bleach has been replaced with yellow liquid called Finkol. It's used exactly the same way as bleach. It's important to flush all the Finkol out of the fit using cold water. Only use cold water to clean out injecting equipment as hot water clots blood.
You're with Jailbreak 2SER 107.3 Sundays 9:30 PM. I'm Jacob Little. It's great to have your company wherever you are in the system. Coming up the next half hour, my story and some of my music. Bang on the walls and tell the brothers and sisters to tune in. Sit back, relax, have a good chew and enjoy the show. And we're just watching telly, you know, just finished dinner. Me and Mum was kicking back in, we're living in Swansea in one of the housing commission houses, watching the news, and there's something come on about bikies and gangs and a drug bust. And at that time, you know, we were living in Newcastle, and Dad's charges and co-offenders were all, it was all Newcastle-based. That's where the investigation started, was in Newcastle. I was watching the telly, seen that come on, and I just started crying, went to my room. I remember Mum was just sitting there patting me on the back. It was really hard, you know, when Dad went to prison, how I was feeling. I remember in particular, you know, like a traumatizing event. I didn't know what was happening, but the feeling that I had, I wanted to get into the pop shop and blow it up. But that's just how I was feeling at the time. I just wanted my dad out, you know. And
hello, my name's Todd. I'm Jacob's dad. Jacob was a great kid. He tried very hard at school, played football, very outgoing. A little bit wild. Good kid. When I went to jail, I was separated from my children, Jacob and his little brother and sister. It was very hard. Done 16 and a half years in jail. I moved around lots of different jails. Grafton, MRRC, Park Lee, Lithgow, back to Long Bay. Went to three different jails in Long Bay, Kempsey, Maximum, Minimum, and Glen Ennis. A feeling of loss, but they kept me going. My ex-wife used to bring them down every 6 months or so for a visit, which was good of her.
You've got about 2 minutes to come. I want to sing a couple for you while we wait.
In the early days, once a year they'd have a family day, or sometimes at Christmas time they'd be able to come down and spend the whole day on the football field, have a barbecue and a family day with your family, which is pretty good. That was a big thing. They love me and I love them, and I knew that one day I'd get out and be reunited with them. As you do, as you fellas all know, I just broke it into 5-year lots, and I thought, well, I've got 10 years. I thought, well, I've come this far, I can make it the rest of the way. The impact prison had on me was it just takes away everything from you, your whole life. You become institutionalised, but after a couple of years of being out, Jacob and my mum and the rest of my family helping me, coming out after all that time.
Yeah, 16 and a half years later, the big man comes home.
A warning, the story you're about to hear on Jailbreak may be distressing. If something upsets you and you're in custody, a mental health professional is waiting to take your call on your centre's mental health hotline. Listeners outside can call Lifeline on 13 11 14.
So at the age of 17, I was still partying pretty hard, getting into mischief, so I was probably a bit uncontrollable at that time. I was uncontrollable. I got locked up for my very first time, went to the Brisbane Boys Yard, which is like a youth detention. It's not a juvie, I think, in Queensland at that time. I'm not sure about now, but it was from the ages of 13, 14, up to 17. And then when you're 17 years old, you go to the Boys Yard.
So we're going to start.
So the Boys Yard is when I first got locked up, when I was 17 years old. That's where I went. So my first day inside of the Brisbane Boys Yard, and I think I remember, you know, my first day in there was just sitting in my cell. I think I was eating my food in my cell. It could have even been some sun coming in. And I was just thinking about my life. I could have even been thinking, oh, it was maybe how cool it was, but then getting that realization of how cool it's not. Yeah, there are maybe some feelings that I could have been thinking at the time.
I'm trying to copy off that one.
And I went in there and I was sexually abused by a prison officer coming to my cell. And I didn't want to do what he wanted me to do, but I was forced. Yeah, it was pretty bad. And yes, at the time, you know, I did try and report it. I don't know. It was sort of one of the, you could tell it was the higher up screws or whoever it was that had stars or stripes on their sleeves. They just told me to fuck off. Made me feel like nearly a liar, or yeah, it didn't make me feel good. It just made me just sort of want to push it away, push it down, push it out of my head. The going through what I went through in the boys' yard when I got out, I was just angry. Just wanted to hurt people, I suppose. You know, I turned 18, went to the men's prison, and I was quite fortunate because I had some people in there that were associated with my father, and I got a bit of a taste for gang life, I suppose. It was a bit of brotherhood. They had my back. I was only a kid coming through. Some of these guys were seasoned criminals, serious violent crimes. So, yeah, I got a bit of a taste of the brotherhood there. But I think, you know, growing up around it my whole life and, you know, seeing my dad in it, all my friends were in it, having jail phone calls, having jail visits, could have had a little bit to do with the gang life. Sort of nearly normalised it for me.
When I discovered Jacob was locked up, it was very daunting. I was very worried about him, that he might get in strife in prison and that he may get extra time for getting in trouble in there. I was really worried. I was able to keep in contact with him because he was only a minor when he first got locked up. They used to let me once a week make calls to him, welfare calls. But once he got into the MAC, once he turned 18, things changed and I'd only get that call every few weeks then. When I found out that Jacob had been abused as a kid, it made me very angry. I felt helpless.
Started getting involved in street gangs more and more heavily. I got involved in a club and ended up being a high-ranking member of the club. Being in the gang at that time, it was partying all the time, trying to root chicks, having benders, committing violent crimes, making money. Yeah, I thought that stuff was pretty fun, you know, and just riding around, going on club events, flying interstate, riding interstate, just doing whatever we wanted, wherever we wanted. Yeah, it was pretty appealing to me at that time when I was a young kid. We had our own clubhouse, we had our own pub, girls, drugs, alcohol. Yeah, it was pretty appealing that time before the laws come in. Some of the things that we were doing, it was definitely an adrenaline rush after going through what I went through in the boys' yard.
When I was discovered that Jacob was involved in gangs, I was just a little bit worried he might get in a bit of strife. I think he was in it just for the mateship because I wasn't there.
I suppose, you know, going to prison for my very first time, I was pretty scared because of obviously what had happened in the boys' yard. And I remember getting into the first part of the prison reception. You know, I got my pluggers, I got my reception pack, got a packet of bungers in there. You can't smoke cigarettes in the boys' yard, you're not meant to. But yeah, so I got a packet of white ox, thought it was pretty cool. I remember one of the first days I was in the unit, I seen these guys, they were doing something. There was a three-tier landing. The screws who are in the middle can't see down to the bottom. I was walking down the bottom. I seen these guys doing something. I had no idea what was happening. They had a spoon. I didn't know what they were doing with that spoon. And then I seen them, they were mixing up and having a shot. At that time, you know, I was only pretty young and I seen people take drugs. I've taken drugs myself. But, I never shot up and checked it into my veins. I was spinning out a bit. And then later on during that day, I realized that same spoon they were using to mix up, shoot up. They were using that same spoon to serve dinner with. When you're in jail, there's no family. It's fake brotherhood. Can't make any money in prison. There's no girls. So not much fun in there. Nothing happens in there. It's not cool. You know, anyone who's thinking about going to prison is totally the wrong thing to do. And when you first get there, for me, it was that first smell of the watch house when I first got locked up. That was probably one of the biggest things. And every time I went back to that watch house, that was just like a big reminder of that smell. I never get rid of that smell. It's just disgusting. Yeah, I used to hate that smell, the watch house.
I'll be back.
Cold, no sunlight, lonely. That's what it was like to me. That's what it makes me feel like, sort of, yeah. One of the biggest today, but one of the biggest regrets is that time that I wasted away from my family, my life.
We'll wait for you, we'll go again.
Yeah, everyone who was an associate or gang member, the Vicious Lawless Association Establishment Act, which is what I was charged under. We were put into lockdown unit, we called them. Some people call them the Pink Palace because they were made to wear pink. At Brisbane Correctional Centre, which is where I first went, I went straight from the watch house, straight to Brisbane Correctional Centre, straight into lockdown. Then we got transferred up to Woodford. They had no TVs in their cells. We had 1 6-minute phone call a day. We had no books. We had limited buy-ups. We had no contact visits. So, yeah, it was a pretty tough gig, 22 hours a day in your cell, 2 hours out. And when you were out of the cell, you were segregated with other gang members. Yeah, so it was pretty difficult. We were fed through our cell door every single day. We were treated like animals. They had a bit of an attitude, very difficult conditions. They took away all of our training equipment. Basically, the whole yard was stripped down to 2 chairs, nothing else, just 1 phone call a day. It was pretty hard. It had a massive impact on me because I was sitting in my cell lots of times. You know, my dad was sitting in jail. He was maybe 10 years into his 16 and a half. And I was thinking, is this what my life is going to look like? And I was thinking, is this going to be the rest of my life?
We'll wait for you, we'll go again.
The end of the day, you know, I just always thought about my family, and there's always light at the end of the tunnel, no matter how dark it seems. What made me decide to leave the gang was my father was getting out on parole, and his parole officers gave him a few options. If he got out and I was still associating with the gang, I wouldn't be able to see him. Worst case scenario was they'd lock him back up if I was caught associating with the gang. I made the decision to leave on that basis. I know I spent my whole life visiting prisons, seeing my dad in prison. I was just over it, you know, just over the whole gang lifestyle, going to jails, visiting jails. You know, I just had spent my whole life just visiting, and I was just over that life, and I couldn't see myself spending any more time in that situation. It's not easy to leave a gang, you know. One of the hardest things for me was losing my friend circle. I lost like 90% of my friends. You know, I was depressed, I was on drugs, I was on benders, I was by myself on doing that. So it was hard. It was really hard for me because I still had my friends that I grew up with stuff, but unfortunately I pushed them away because we had commitments on the weekends. I was missing out on birthday parties, important events, family events.
When I came out of jail, parole wouldn't let me move up here. I had to live with my mum in Glen Innes. They wouldn't let me move up the coast near my 3 kids. It took me about 6 months before they'd even let me come and visit them. Then I moved to Inverell for work. They wouldn't let me move up here, and Jacob would come down and visit me, and I'd come up and visit him and the kids sometimes. It took me a whole year for them to let me move up here, which was very hard. It was very hard on me and the kids and mum and everyone.
And when you're trying to transition from prison to outside life and you don't have that outside help, I was lucky because I had good odds, because I had my mum there. She was running the ball up for me, really helping out. It's very hard. I had a roof over my head when I got out. I had money in my bank. I had somewhere to go. I had a car. I was lucky. About Time for Justice is supporting and advocating service that helps transition or just helping them navigate life on the outside. The survivors of institutional child abuse to seek justice. And we like to help the clients, survivors, all the way through the process, you know, from start to finish, from when they get out of them jail doors, helping to get to appointments, reminding, following up, you know, keeping in contact with the next of kin while they're in prison, being there to support, you know. We've helped a lot of people out. We helped them get in contact with lawyers, helped to break down the barriers they might have with trusting. So I know firsthand what it's like to. We have a lot of people sharing their stories. We've helped over 2,000 survivors to talk about their stories. We've also got a podcast called Survivor Stories. So there's lots of content there and lots of support services around what we do. So we can definitely help out for a lot of different things. From prison, you know, helping people out of houses, housing, licensing, getting people on track with their mental health care plans, just doing one-on-one mentoring. The best way to contact us if you are in prison would be to write directly to our PO box, which is PO box 1182 Kingscliff, New South Wales 2487. That's PO Box 1182 Kingscliff, which is spelled Kings, K-I-N-G-S, Cliff, C-L-I-F-F, no space. And if you want to get in contact with us, if you're on the outside, the best way would be to give our office number a call, which is 0256321291. That's 0256321291. So yeah, I think someone with lived experience who has walked through them prison doors, who's walked into them dirty prison cells with piss stains, and you know, that have been through that lockdown. What makes me not want to go back to that life is constant reminders every single day. All the guys that we're helping out, they're still in prison. It's always a good reality check. Always a good thing for me to, you know, listen to these guys' stories and hear, you know, what's going on in the prison system. Which is not much, you know, they're sitting back doing nothing. Having my dad taken away from me for 16 and a half years, constant reminder to, you know, not want to go back to them places. And I'll write a grateful list every morning and nearly every single day, and freedom's on that. You know, freedom is the best thing. I've changed what I used to do. I've changed my daily habits. I get up earlier. I get up and, you know, I do a grateful list. I create what I call a power list, which is just like a list of things I need to get done. You know, I've also been listening to podcasts, reading, studying, training on myself mentally, physically. You know, I do a lot of training for myself and I have to do it. It just ticks all the boxes for me. I like to set little goals, you know, set little goals for myself, personal goals. You know, there's some things that have really helped me out was listening and being around positive people, being around people who want to see you in, or even being around people who are winning, you know. But if you can't find them people, you know, there's so many ways out there that you can find them. You don't have to have somebody there to be telling you what to do. You can go on YouTube and look up positive people, or you could go and find a podcast through Google looking up positive motivational. I do have some good people in my corner now, but at the start, it was a lot of just podcasting, researching myself, finding, listening, learning. Constant reminders every single day. Me not want to go back to that life, picking up that phone, Googling people like UK, you know, people who want to see people like us win. I'm Jacob Little, Jailbreak, produced at Sydney's 2SER. Broadway, Sydney, on Gadigal lands of the Gadigal people, lands known also as Sydney. And we pay our respect to elders past and emerging, being on Jailbreaks, being fun and also a little bit emotional telling my story with my father, because this is the first time we've ever done it. I enjoyed it and I'm going to grow from it. If you're in the New South Wales system, why don't you have a go? Jailbreak visits about any centres. Ask your SAPO or welfare to contact Jailbreak. We'd love to hear from you. Tell us what you think about the program. Listeners inside, write to Jailbreak, care of 2SDR, PO Box 123, Broadway, New South Wales, 2007. I would like to thank my mum and my dad, my close family, my nan, for standing by my side, always believing in me. My nan, my dad and my mum, they've always had my back and believed in me. No matter how much of a fuck up I was, they always backed me up. Even when I was sitting in them sad, lonely, dark places. I'll never forget that, ever. Jailbreak wouldn't be possible without the courage and generous spirit of contributors. If you're locked away somewhere in the world, my message to you is there is always light at the end of the tunnel. No matter how dark it seems, you're going to get out. You've got friends, family who care about you. Bang on the walls and tell the brothers and sisters to tune in.
Again next Sunday, 9:30, 2CR. Until then, take care.